You might recall that a week ago I had talked about those two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus and how they were in such need of a word of encouragement. And I thought to myself, I'd like to follow up on that because I think we're living in a time, a season, when we all need encouragement. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Amen.
I mean, whether it's what we see on the news or something that might be going on in our personal lives, we all need to be lifted up at times. You know, I looked up the word encouragement in the dictionary, and there are several definitions, but I'd like to extrapolate one of them if I can. The act of giving hope and support that inspires confidence and a will to keep on keeping on. Listen to that again. To give encouragement is an act of giving hope and support to another person that inspires confidence and gives that individual the will to keep on keeping on. I don't know about you, but every now and then I need that little slap on the back to say, Chuck, keep on keeping on. To inspire others. To offer hope and support. Or, conversely, to be inspired. To be given hope, support. We either receive encouragement or we give it away. But it's a needed commodity, especially in this generation today, with everything that's going on in the world, in our community, and in our personal lives. You know, the church in particular, you might recall, I mentioned, should be deeply involved in the ministry of encouragement. Now, I know I've said this, maybe Pastor Debbie will be upset with me that I'll say this, but I've always said this in my ministry. If you come to church and you're discouraged more than encouraged, you need to find another church. Because in my opinion, you come to church to be lifted up. You come to church to be part of the support system that exists in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all about encouragement. To keep on keeping on. And I believe that with all my heart. It is here in this environment, and it's been like this my entire ministry. When I come to church, I always leave feeling better for having been in that worship service. You know, even animals need encouragement. You ever notice that? I got one back here. Where is she?
Okay.
Hey. Where are you?
She's under the chair.
All right, she's under the chair. She needs encouragement. But even the pooches, have you noticed if they look sad and you give them a little look, their tails start to wag? Because they need to be encouraged as well. There she is.
She wants to sing with the boys.
All right. You know, there's an energy and power in the act of encouragement that strengthens and cheers a person on when they're just about ready to give up. When they're just about, see, I encourage her so much she won't sit down now. But you see, the act of encouragement empowers people. It energizes people. It enriches their lives. It edifies them. And yes, it elevates them. Encouragement also elevates a person above their circumstances. So when they're going through a trial, when they're going through a valley, when they're going through a tough season in their lives, that timely word of encouragement will get them over that speed bump that they just can't negotiate or navigate. So in our text this morning that Ed read, Paul encourages us as the church to encourage others. He says, encourage one another, and listen to this, and build one another up. Not knock one another down, but to build one another up through encouragement. And I believe that is one of the most important functions of the church. We should ask ourselves on a regular basis, is encouragement a regular part of my life, attitude, and behavior?
Amen.
Is it? When we go out into our daily lives, are we more about encouraging others or discouraging others? Are we more about hope or are we more about gloom and doom in the workplace, in the community, in our families? A number of years ago, my wife and I were in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And I want to tell you, I was awestruck at the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel, to think that Michelangelo painted that on his back. And I thought to myself, in order for him to have achieved such a monumental task, even though he was a kind of finicky guy, if you've ever read a biography on Michelangelo, he had to be encouraged along the way in order to create and pull off such an incredible artistic accomplishment. It's breathtaking. In fact, when you're in the Sistine Chapel, they don't even allow you to whisper or talk. They want you to just go in there and be quiet and take it all in. It's amazing. I don't believe Thomas Edison or the Wright brothers could have accomplished what they accomplished, even though they tried and they failed so many times. I've been to the Wright Brothers Museum down in the Outer Banks, and I want to tell you, it wasn't always positive and successful. Yet along the way, they were encouraged to not quit, don't give up. And as a result of them not giving up, we have lights in the sanctuary due to Thomas Edison, and we can fly to Orlando to go to Disney World. I don't believe a soldier can remain in a combat situation very long unless that soldier is encouraged and provided for by his or her platoon sergeant or platoon leader. Somebody in the chain of command has to encourage that soldier to keep on keeping on in the midst of horrible circumstances. Just look what's happened in the Ukraine. Think about Zelensky. Don't you think his major role is to encourage his people? Not to be on the front lines, but to be there to say, we're not going to give up. We're going to hang in there. And as a result of him, almost like Churchill, he has encouraged his people to keep on keeping on in spite of the atrocities that we see going on in that nation today. Timely words of encouragement have helped shape the landscape of history, both in the secular environment and in the religious communities. We cannot keep on keeping on. We cannot continue to strive in our lives unless a long life's journey we have been encouraged by someone. The famous actress Celeste Holmes once said, "We live by encouragement and we die without it, slowly, sadly, and angrily." We need encouragement, friends. You know, I was thinking of a story of a woman who was homebound. But before she was homebound by her illness, she was very active in her church. She served on various committees, she sang in the choir, but now all she could do was sit at home and watch the service online through live streaming. And so one day, one of the leaders of the church was paying her a visit and tried to encourage her and said, "You know what? I know you're sad that you no longer have a ministry. Can I make a recommendation? Why don't you start praying for people and writing handwritten cards and send them? The church will give you the cards and will give you the stamps. All you have to do is write them out and mail them." And this woman's whole life turned around. She was lifted up. She felt she had a purpose. And by that simple word of encouragement, by that lay leader that went to visit her at her home, changed her entire life. She was not only encouraged, but she wound up being one of the biggest encouragers in the life of the ministry of that church. And you know what? Frankly, we're all called to have that ministry. No one's exempt from it. It's not like there's the gift of encouragement and only a few selected people have it. We're all called to such a ministry as encouragement. You know, in this life, and this is what I feel, we need fewer critics and more cheerleaders. We need more people that are going to lift us up than knock us down. Anybody could commiserate with one another. We could all get together and have a real good commiserating party if we want to. But if that one person in that group could interject a word of encouragement, that person could change the entire direction of the conversation in that group. And I've seen it many times. We need more folks who could say, you may not have it all together, but I want to thank you for who you are. Or things may not be perfect, but I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Things are going to get better. Go for it. You could make it. I'm proud of you. Those simple words doesn't cost anything. A simple sentence or a paragraph could turn somebody's entire life around. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, he wrote in Proverbs 15:23, he says, how delightful is a timely word of encouragement. How awesome is a timely word of encouragement that we can interject into a conversation. I once had a successful IBM executive in my office when I was in Connecticut. I had a lot of IBMers in my church. And he was way up there on the food chain. Okay, he was a VP, and there are many VPs in IBM, but he was one of them. And he came in and he was sharing with me how he struggles with self-esteem. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. You're a VP in IBM, and you've got all these degrees, and you've accomplished all that you accomplished. I'm thinking, I'm not saying it out loud. And then he said to me, you know, I wish my father had just said to me once, I'm proud of you, son. But he never did, right up to the day he died. He mourned, he grieved over that. That he tried to accomplish so that his father would just say to him once, son, I'm so proud of you. And he never heard those words from his dad. And it had a profound effect on his life. Think about that. A simple phrase, I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. I'm proud of you, honey, to your spouse. How that little sentence could have changed the trajectory of this man's life. Even though he was successful in all he did in the corporate world, he still didn't feel whole because he was missing those words he longed to hear from his dad. I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you. Paul is saying that we should regularly look for someone who needs that timely word of encouragement. And you know, I've seen over the years numerous opportunities for providing a timely word of encouragement. A person is going through a difficult relationship, and you get in there and you try to comfort them. Someone who lost his or her job, and they're down in the dumps, and they don't know what their future holds, and you get in there and you encourage them. A person going through a frightening medical situation. They got some bad news from a doctor for themselves or a loved one. And they need just a little boost. Something that's going to get them above what they're fighting in their lives. Someone loses a loved one. One of the greatest shots that anybody could receive. One of the greatest waylays that anybody can receive is when we lose somebody we love. And a timely word, something timely to that individual, will help them keep on keeping on. Even people who've lost pets. I had someone in my church one time said, I think it's ridiculous that people grieve and mourn over the loss of a pet. And I said, I think you're ridiculous. These animals are faithful to their families. They lift them up. They bring great joy to the home. And you lose that animal and you grieve. And they need a word of encouragement. a person is carrying a heavy load for whatever reason. They're struggling on their journey to life. They need somebody to come along and help lift them up. But I want to tell you one thing, friends. One time or another, we're all going to need that word of encouragement. One time or another. Dr. William Barclay, a Scottish theologian, he wrote the Barclay Commentary on the Bible, a very studious and incredible individual theologically. He calls the ministry of encouragement a divine calling. And listen what he writes. He said, a timely pat on the back, a word of praise, something, a sign of appreciation or thanks, could keep another person on his or her feet. When somebody's ready to collapse and give up, that little timely pat on the back, that little word of encouragement could keep that person standing so they could keep on keeping on. Someone once said, there's no better exercise for strengthening your heart than stooping down to lift somebody up. Somebody who's down in the dumps. Somebody who's in a valley experience. Somebody who doesn't know what the future holds. Somebody who's lost their hope. And we get down there and we grab them and we keep them on their feet so that they could keep on keeping on. This ministry is so important, friends. People thrive on appreciation and encouragement. The greatest basketball player, and I know some people will argue this, in my opinion, was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan could fly across a room without wings. And he was once asked by a reporter, why do you like having your dad attend your game so much? He said, because when my dad attends the game, I know I have at least one fan in the stands. His dad was a fan, and you may remember his dad was murdered while sleeping in a car along the highway. Somebody robbed him and shot him and killed his father, and it devastated Michael Jordan's life because Michael Jordan's father was one of the greatest encouragers he had in his life. Many times he said the words that executive in IBM wanted to hear. I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you. Now, whether you're a superstar athlete or playing before thousands as an athlete, or you're a member of the choir singing before a congregation our size, it doesn't matter. We all need encouragement. Amen? How about you this morning? How did you come to church today? Did you come needing a word of encouragement? Have you ever been so discouraged that you felt like giving up? Joyce Myers, a well-known TV Bible teacher, she says that when you're feeling discouraged, go out and encourage somebody else and you'll automatically be encouraged. And that's so true. Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others will he himself be refreshed. Right? Encourage somebody, you'll be encouraged. The old principle of sowing and reaping, right? You sow encouragement, you will reap encouragement. That's what Solomon was saying. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 15, it says, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak it. Say it. Don't just think it. And there are ways that we can encourage people. Just tell people words of encouragement. It's that simple. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words bring healing to the bones of the hearer. Have you ever been so discouraged your bones hurt? And you go, you're achy because your heart aches. Your mind aches. Your spirit is aching. And somebody speaks those words of encouragement, all of a sudden it brings healing to those aching bones. Write someone words of encouragement. I had a card in the mail today in my mailbox in the office. And this is, some of you may know Juanita and Doug Oxford. How many remember that name?
Used to sit right here.
Used to sing in the choir.
She watches us every Sunday.
Juanita said she watches this service every single Sunday. She sent me a card with a letter about my retirement. And she just wished me the very best. And here's somebody I never met and watches the service every single Sunday. Hi, Juanita. And thank you for this card. God bless you. What a beautiful thought. I mean, sent me this card. It just lifted me up this morning. We could do the same. We could write somebody an email or a text. How many know there's so many negative texts that go? We're so quick to say, you're an idiot. Why don't you take a break? Count to 10. Count to 100. You may be thinking that person's an idiot, but say, I love you. With a brick. I mean, no. Write somebody, this card means the world to me, from somebody I never met. Be there for somebody when they're in trouble and they need encouragement. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And I want to tell you something. Almost always, the Lord works through other people to walk alongside them, to encourage them. Do an act of kindness. That's what Joyce Meyer said. Don't just pray for them, though prayer is important, but do an act of kindness. Sometimes we need to walk along somebody who's down in the dumps. Sow into the need of somebody else. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they need help. Maybe they need assistance. I remember a woman in my church, her husband, who was an IBM executive, passed away after a jogging of a massive heart attack. He was 42 years old. He was jogging with his daughter, died right in front of her. And when the leaves were falling, the church went over there and they cleaned up her yard just to say we love her. And to this very day, my wife is best friends with this woman, and she's attended worship here several times, Sherry. That little act of love and encouragement meant the world to her, seeing all those church people out there raking those leaves, because she didn't know which way to turn. After losing her husband, a single mom. It's a beautiful thing. Pray for those. I don't diminish prayer. I didn't say don't just pray for somebody, but do something. Pray also. Paul wrote in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us with your prayers. Paul always said, I need your prayers to keep on keeping on. Friends, encouragement's a free gift. But listen to me, it's a priceless gift. Someone once said, praise and encouragement is like sunlight to warm up the human spirit. We cannot flower and we cannot grow without it. So in our text this morning, Paul writes, encourage one another and build one another up. There isn't a person here this morning who doesn't need encouragement, and there isn't a person here this morning who cannot give encouragement away to somebody else who's struggling. All we have to do is use that gift and watch what happens. Miracles will take place. A frown will turn into a smile. A person who feels hopeless will now feel hope. A person who's ready to give up will keep on keeping on. Isn't that a beautiful ministry? As Dr. Barclay said, it's a divine calling. That pat on the back will keep people on their feet. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning, if anybody in this church came discouraged this morning, I just want to speak a word of encouragement over their lives. I believe many of us, including myself, have come to church some Sundays feeling so down, wondering what's going to happen in the future, only to be lifted up by a kind word from a fellow parishioner, or something in a hymn, or a prayer, or in a message, or in the scripture itself. And so, Lord God, I just want to pray for anybody who might be struggling this morning. Struggling to keep on keeping on. I just want to pray a prayer of wholeness, a prayer of hope over his or her life. and that they would feel your presence and know that there is hope for the future. Give them that peace which passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.